I greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning from Grace Generation Church in Pietermaritzburg. It's an honor for me to bring God's word to you this morning, and I trust that both those of you who are listening and watching and myself will be enriched by God's word. The title of my message this morning is Grace is Free, but not cheap. Die Afrikaans is genade is gratis, maar nie goedkoop nie. And the Zulu is Umusa Amala Hala Godwa Awushibishle. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning and we ask you to bless this word. Bless this word to our hearts. Bless this word to all of us. And may we leave this morning to know that your grace is free, but it is not cheap. In Jesus' name, amen. Our congregation has, for the past couple of weeks, or even longer, been studying the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. Pastor Craig Botha said during one of his sermons that the book of Hebrews is all about Jesus. And today's word is again a reminder of Jesus and the difference between the old covenant and the new. And as I said, my title this morning is Grace is Free, but it's not cheap. Before we read the scripture, just a little background. The writer to the Hebrews, who some people say is the Apostle Paul, others say it's not, is addressing the Jews at the time, and the scripture speaks about two mountains, Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. And then it concludes with God's all-consuming fire. So in order to get going, I read from the New Living Translation, Hebrews 12, verse 18 to 29. You have not come to a physical mountain, to a place of flaming fire, darkness and gloom, and whirlwind as the Israelites did at Mount Sinai. For they heard an awesome trumpet blast and a voice so terrible that they begged God to stop speaking. They staggered back under God's command, Even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. Moses himself was so frightened at the sight that he said, I am terrified and trembling. No, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. You've come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God himself, who is judge over all things. You have come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven and who have now been made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. Be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, we will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But now he makes another promise. Once again I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed, so that only unshakable things will remain. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. For our God is a devouring fire. So in the scripture there's reference to two mountains, Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. But before I deal with the parallels or the differences of the mountains, we must just be reminded what happened at Mount Sinai. Remember, the Jews were very upset. They had left Egypt. They were hungry. They were sick and tired of manna and quails, having that every day. They complained to Moses. They said, we want to go back to Egypt. God must intervene. God must tell us and give a word to us. And Moses then approached God. And then at Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments were written by Moses on a stone. These are very paraphrased. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. We must realize, as Michael Eaton, the biblical scholar, refers to it, these are righteous principles to live by. In essence, there is nothing wrong with the commandments as it was given by God to the Jews. But why then another mount? Why then a mountain by the name of Zion? If these principles are righteous, which they are, why the need for another? There are, however, significant differences or parallels in the two mountains and their effect on us today as Christians, as much as the effect were on the Jews of that day when the book of Hebrews was written. Well, those of you who are listening and watching, perhaps you have kept all these Ten Commandments. I'm sure that unlike me, you have not covered fly fishing at Atoll Island at Seychelles for permit or bonefish, or perhaps driving a specific vehicle or having a certain watch or a certain pair of shoes, or perhaps just steal a little bit from the receiver, or perhaps use God's name in vain. Well, if you've done none of these things, the sermon is not for you. But friends, this sermon is for me. Because I've broken most of those laws, so I'm in desperate need of the Mount Zion, which is referred to here. So let's look at the parallels. First of all, we see the word says that Mount Sinai is a physical location. It's a location that you can find on Google Maps. If you search Mount Sinai on Google Maps, you will see that it is at Jordan. I don't know how many of you have been to Jordan. I certainly have not been to Jordan. But there is this specific mountain. And we find today in so many religions require of their followers to go to a mountain or to go to a specific place or a specific city because there they will meet with their God. But what is Mount Zion? Mount Zion is no longer a physical location in Jordan that you can find on Google Maps. No. The writer to the Hebrews says it's the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. There is no death at the mountain. A physical location? Mount Sinai? No longer a physical location. Mount Zion. Mount Sinai also brought fear, darkness, and terror. As we read, you have not come to a physical mountain, to a place of flaming fire, darkness, gloom, and whirlwind. Does the thought of touching a mountain and die appeal to any of us? I don't think so. It scares us all. Fear is first and foremost in our minds. Terrible punishment such as the death penalty will result at the mountain. Darkness does not make us in KZN, or for that matter in South Africa, very happy. We used to load shedding. So Mount Sinai brought fear, darkness, and terror. But what does Mount Zion do? There is no more fear, but freedom. There is a joyful gathering with thousands of angels. It speaks of forgiveness. Doesn't that excite you? Another parallel or a difference is Mount Sinai was exclusive for God's people at the time, the Jews. The writer says the Israelites were given the law. How many of us today here are Jews? So sorry, Mount Sinai would not work for you as it was for the Jews only. But what does Mount Zion speak about? Mount Zion is the heavenly Jerusalem. It speaks of inclusivity, where there are no longer Jews or Greeks or slaves or Afrikaners or Zulus, Germans. Even Ghanaians will be welcome there. That means that all of us are firstborn. It does not matter whether you are the middle child or the youngest in the new covenant. We are all firstborn. How often have I heard that people say, well, I'm not the eldest son, and he got everything, and I didn't, I'm in the middle. No, at Mount Zion, we are all called the firstborn. Another parallel or a difference is, at Mount Sinai, religion brought separation and rituals. They felt so separated that they did not even want God to speak, and wanted and told Moses to tell God that he should stop speaking, as there was, from their perception, a complete feeling of rejection, of separation, of not being good enough, of not being able to comply with the law. Mount Zion refers not to religion, but it refers to relationship, where people are called, as I said, the children of God, whose names are written in heaven. If you are a child, then you have a family, and you come to God Himself. All of these are signs of relationship. Another difference between Mount Sinai and Mount Zion is, Mount Sinai is the law. It's also called the Old Covenant, steeped with rituals and religious activities. It stipulated the law in codified form. 10 commandments became approximately 450 regulations, and the 450 regulations became approximately 1,200 sub-regulations. Well, friends, I know that I can't keep them. I wonder if you can. But Mount Zion refers to the grace, where righteous people gather who have been made perfect through our Lord Jesus Christ. He became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God, His word says. Another parallel is that at Mount Sinai, Moses was the mediator between God and man. At Mount Zion, Jesus is the one who mediates between God and the people. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, so whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. So now that I've explained these differences, I've explained the parallels, we think to ourselves, wow, at Mount Sinai, the Jews must have now, they were scared, they felt separated, so now they will obey the law, they will be obedient. Needless to say, they weren't. Not a mere 40 days later, they started worshiping the golden calf. And the very first commandment, which says, you shall have no other gods before me, and you shall not make idols, they'd violated, they breached, despite the fact that they audibly heard God's voice. How often do we not say, if I can just hear God's voice. How often do we not say, if I can audibly hear God's voice. Friends, hearing God's voice audibly will not change you. But we have noticed as Christians that the gospel of Jesus Christ is sometimes experienced as free of charge. But grace is free, but it's not cheap. The gospel, brothers and sisters, is good news. Somebody once says there's only one pill, and that's the gospel. That the success on Mount Sinai was dependent on your own works. The success in Mount Zion is based on the free gift of grace. Sinai specified everything that we must do. Mount Zion is built on what we want to do. But how does it all fit in with my title, Grace is Free but Not Cheap? And then we also see in the final verse, it says God is an all-consuming fire. How do we apply it to our lives today? First, we must realize that it is impossible to fulfill the law. We see the writer to the Hebrews says, it's only by faith that you can please God. He warns us that for the future that we will not escape if we do not listen to the one who speaks from heaven. The Ten Commandments are not bad. The principles contained therein are moral indicators how to live by. But as Terry Virgo once said, the law tells you what to do, but does not help lift a finger to help you do it. Secondly, God speaks to us today in the most excellent manner, and He justly expects from us the most strict attention and regard. He now speaks from a higher and more glorious seat and throne, not from Mount Sinai, which was on earth, but from heaven. He speaks now more immediately to us by His inspired word and by His Spirit, which are His witnesses. We cannot worship God unless we worship Him with godly reverence and fear. Third, it is only grace that enables us to worship God in a right manner. Rituals can't do it, and nature cannot come up to it, says Michael Eaton in his book. It can produce neither that precious faith nor that holy fear that is necessary to acceptable worship. God is the same just and righteous God under the gospel than the God that appeared under the law. In fact, He is still an all-consuming fire. But the difference is we now have Jesus who mediates for us, who is our advocate, who represents us in a case before the Father. Fourthly, freedom brings responsibility. We find in life that most things that you get for free very seldom are treasured or cherished. We have seen this in our own country, that freedom has resulted in the most atrocious acts of barbarism and criminality. Freedom has resulted in corruption that has shaken everyone. But friends, grace is free, but it is not cheap. Freedom without responsibility is not freedom at all. I titled the message, Grace is Free, but it's not cheap. Genade is gratis, maar is nie goedkoop nie. Umusa amahala kodwa awushibishle. It's not cheap. Jesus Christ had to die for us. So how much more must we give to Him? Well, there are so many Christians that say, well, all is fine and we can continue sinning as we are under grace. Paul says in Romans, shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? He says the answer is no. Someone once said, cheap grace justifies the sin. True grace justifies the sinner. If God is still a reverent, holy and all-consuming fire God, who He is, our daily lives must be lived in and on Mount Zion. Our lives must mirror God. Our lives must take grace seriously. Although grace is free living, walking that grace is not cheap. It takes a daily decision that we are under grace. Well, now you ask me, is that now law again? No, it's not law. It's a question of wanting to do something and no longer an attitude that we must do something. The question is, do you want to hurt the one you love or do you want to make that person proud? Let me explain to you the difference between must and want. Firstly, the law says in South Africa that we have to have a TV license. It's a law. You must have it. You don't have to raise your hand there where you're sitting watching, looking at the TV. I'm asking myself, how many of you that are watching or listening today has in fact got a TV license? So the law says we must have one, but if you don't want to go and buy one, you won't do it. That's the difference between law and grace. Let me tell you another one which I'm very guilty of, and that's speeding. Speeding is an offense. It's a criminal offense. You can get a fine, You can even go to jail under certain circumstances. Speeding on the highway says 120 kilometers an hour. You're not allowed to travel faster than 120 kilometers an hour. If that is the case, why then have I been caught so many times? Driving at a speed in excess of 120 kilometers an hour, the law says I must do it, but if I don't want to do it, I won't. Do you understand, as we go through this word, as we understand that grace is cheap, but it's not free, if you don't want to do something, you will not do it. Irrespective of what the law says. Marriage. The Ten Commandments says you are not to commit adultery. I'm telling you that are listening, despite what that law says, if you don't accept that adultery is wrong and you don't want to stay faithful, you won't. And I can give you many more examples this morning. But I want to say to you this morning, God is an all-consuming fire. I want to say to you that grace is free, but it's not cheap. I want to say to you that in Mount Zion, freedom brings responsibility. I want to say to you this morning that without faith, it's impossible to please God. I want to say to you this morning that the God of the Mount Sinai is still the God of today. Grace is cheap, but it's not free. Grace is free, but it's not cheap. But how do we put that into practice? How do we live in grace, but also know that God is a consuming fire? And I want to leave this with you. I said that under the law, under Mount Sinai, we must do things. I say under Mount Zion, we want to do something. Let me explain it to you even better. So often in our lives, we talk about my heart tells me something and my head tells me something else. And more often than not, what is in your heart is something out of relationship. What is in your head is something which you read in books. It reminds me of a television advertisement many years ago about powder milk called Cremora. And that television advert was this woman standing next to the fridge, and on the top of the fridge was a bottle of Cremora, and she would shout to somebody in the house, "Where is the Cremora?" And the person will answer, "It's not inside, it's on top." Then she would say, "It's not inside, it's on top." Brothers and sisters, Mount Sinai is on top. Mount Zion is in your heart. He says in Jeremiah that He will write His laws on our hearts. He says in His word that He will take a heart of stone and change it. But how do we live it? How do we live in this grace? How do we experience the fact that grace is free, but it is not cheap? How do we take up that responsibility? I must tell you, in my own life, I have made this mistake. And this is the principle that I want to conclude with. You feel to do something, and then you do it without thinking about the consequences. There's a middle step, and that is, if you feel to do something, you must first think what the consequences are, and then you will decide whether you're going to do it. But in my life, I have hurt my wife, I have hurt my daughter, I have hurt people in this church by feeling to say or do something without thinking what the consequences of that will be. In our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to accept that grace is free, but it's not cheap. Our God is an all-consuming fire. We've got a responsibility as Christians to take up and live that grace, and before we do something, despite what we feel, we've got to think how that will affect our relationship with the Lord, with our wives, with our children, with our teachers, with our bosses, with our friends, with our brothers, with our sisters. We have to accept that we cannot just go and do without think before we do. Perhaps there are some of you watching this morning that are struggling with sin. Fleshly desires such as adultery, theft, scandal, anger, other sexual sins. All of these are explicitly or impliedly recorded in the commandments at Mount Sinai. Did that stop the Jews from doing it? No, it did not. Will the commandments of Mount Sinai stop us from doing those things? No, it won't. We find that people like David, he was a murderer, he lied, he was an adulterer. He had the law. They were dancing around the ark where the law was contained. The law will not stop you if you don't realize that his principles are in your heart. All of us have choices in life. God so loved us from the beginning in the garden of Adam and Eve that he gave them a choice. He said to them, you can eat of all the trees, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you are not allowed to eat. He loved them so much that he wanted a return relationship with them and gave them a free choice. We read in Deuteronomy, you can choose life or death. You've got a free choice. You've got your own will. And if you feel to do something, but then simply do it without thinking before you do it, you will get yourself into trouble. You will think that God's grace is cheap. It is not cheap. God's grace is free, but it's not cheap. God is an all-consuming fire, his word says. May we this morning leave here and experience the following. Lord Jesus, your Mount Zion is inclusive. It doesn't matter who I am. You died for me on the cross. It's no longer a physical location. It's no longer a religion, but it's a relationship. It's no longer law, but it's grace. It's no longer Moses, but it's Jesus. It's no longer head knowledge, but it's heart knowledge. But God, I come and I want to walk in your grace. I want to walk in the obedience, what you expect from me as your child. And Lord, I will use the free will which you've given me to whatever I feel before I do, before I say, I will think, will this have an effect on my relationship with the Lord Jesus? Will it have an effect on my relationship with all those around me? And I'm asking you this morning, what is your position? Are you making God's grace cheap? Are you forgetting that God is an all-consuming fire? Have you made decisions and choices which have hurt people? Have you made bad decisions and choices which have affected your own life because you felt to do something without thinking? God says to us this morning, my grace is sufficient for you. He says it's my grace upon grace upon grace. He says to us this morning that I have come to live and let you live in Mount Zion. And may you leave this video that you're watching, and may I leave it with this knowledge, Lord Jesus, I will utilize my will to first think before I do. In closing, many years ago, I wrote a song, Can the People See That You're a Letter from the Lord? Not with pen and ink, but by the way that you live. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we are your children, that your love and your cross was inclusive. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that no matter what nationality or race we are, Mount Zion is for us. We thank you, Lord, that there's no longer a separation, but there is a unification through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that darkness and gloom have changed into light. You say, you light of the world, you stepped into darkness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that by your grace, we are set free. Thank you for the cross. And I pray, O God, that we will remember that your grace is free, but it is not cheap. That we will remember that you are an all-consuming fire. And that we will live, O God, and do and say, not what we feel, but that we will think first and then do or say, so that our relationship with you will never be affected. In Jesus' name, amen.